306, 306. I'm not ashamed to owe my Lord or to defend his cause. First and last verse of 306. Couldn't be an Easter Monday without singing a few verses of this. Our service for God has been barren and dry, and barren it shall remain. 525. May we know even God's blessing in the days ahead. 525. Hymn 300, my God, I have found the thrice blessed ground where life and where joy and true comfort abound. You'll find the last verse on the next page, the verse number 1, the verse number 6 for our final praise. Marcus. Not sure of that one. Okay, not sure of that. 170 then, 170. I'm rejoicing night and day.
Thank you. You turn now, please, to hymn number 97. Hymn number 97, One Day When Heaven Was Filled With His Praises. We're glad to see you all here today. We welcome you in the Saviour's great name to the second service of the Easter Convention. We're thankful that you're here. We're glad to see such a goodly number. Maybe we can thank the weather for that. I was just wondering how many of you would have been in Port Stewart or Port Rush today had it not been for the rain. So we're glad the rain came and that drove you down the way of martyrs. So thanks for coming, everyone. We trust we'll have a blessed time at the Lord's feet this afternoon. Hymn number 97, but we're going to do something slightly different. Whenever we come to verse 3, we'll have everybody downstairs on the third verse. When we come to verse 4, everyone upstairs. And verse 5, just the ladies. So verse 3 downstairs, verse 4 upstairs, and verse 5, just the ladies. Already a second announcement about a vehicle, a Renault bus EHZ977, and the lights have been left on. Maybe you could see to that, please. During the singing of the hymn, the Reverend Timothy Nelson is going to come to the pulpit and he's going to lead us in the opening prayer. Downstairs in verse 3, upstairs verse 4, ladies verse 5.
Thank you. Let's seek the Lord's face in prayer, looking to him for his help and for his presence as we come together this afternoon. Let us unite our hearts in prayer, please. Our eternal God and our gracious Heavenly Father, we draw aside unto thee this day in the precious and peerless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Redeemer. Our Father, we are thankful for the way in which the hymn writer reminds us of the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. We thank thee for all that we are taught of him in thy word. We thank thee for that simple but sublime truth. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And we rejoice in the truth of that this afternoon. We bless thee for all that has been purposed in respect of our salvation. We thank thee for a Saviour who came, who lived a perfect life, who went to the cross, who suffered and bled and died, who rose again the third day, who is even now ascended to be with thee, where he lives in the power of an endless life. We rejoice this day in a Saviour who is alive, who has said, "Behold, I am alive forevermore." We worship and we serve a living Saviour. And our Father, we are thankful that we can come today and present ourselves to thee because of this Saviour and entirely in the merit of the work that he has performed. We earnestly pray that thou will draw alongside and be with us as we gather here in thy name. We commit our way to thee. We ask that from the first to the last, every aspect of this gathering will redound to the praise of thy glory. Give help, Lord, as we worship thee with all our hearts. We pray for every individual who will take part from this pulpit. And we ask that grace and wisdom will be given to each one, and that in every aspect of this meeting, the Lord Jesus Christ will be lifted up. That he will be so lifted up that hearts will be drawn out after him. We thank thee for this time of the year, not just in respect of our recollection of the resurrection, but also this time in our church calendar. We thank thee for all that thou hast been pleased to do in years that have gone by. We're conscious as we look around this gathering that there are those who are in thy service because they were spoken to in one or other of the meetings in this house. And there are those who have been drawn to Christ and who have fond memories of thy gracious dealings with them, even in this place. And so we thank thee for all that has passed. But our Father, we look to thee for the future. We pray earnestly that we may lay hold of that simple statement, "The best is yet to be." May it be so for us as a people and a church as we gather here at this time. And so, our Father, we do pray especially for thy servant who will conduct the meeting, undertake for him, for every brother and sister who will participate, for those who will contribute in song, and especially for thy servant who will handle the word. We pray that most of all he might have that sense today that he is here before this people, the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. We pray that as every word will be spoken, "Thus and thus saith the Lord." And so we ask that thou wilt anoint him for this task, that he will be lifted out of himself, and that he will be conscious of being here because thou hast a purpose in respect of this gathering and in respect of every person gathered here. Speak to our hearts, O God. Draw near to us, we ask. Give leadership and direction in this meeting. May thy Spirit now assume control. May nothing be done that is of man or of the flesh. May our Savior King Jesus have preeminence here. So overshadow this place. Shut us in with thee. Ready our hearts just now. Cleanse us, we pray. And minister to us, we ask of thee. We pray these things in our Saviour's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen.
Thank you very much indeed, Reverend Nelson. Missionary work has always been central to the thrust of the Free Presbyterian movement, and at our convention, the missionary reports and missionary challenges are vital. So it gives us great pleasure now to introduce Mr. Stephen Miller, who will soon be returning to Uganda, and also Miss Margaret Russell, who will be returning this week to Kenya. And both of them are going to speak to you and lay the burden of the work before us. So we trust God will bless Mr. Miller and then Miss Russell.
I'd like to thank the Mission Board and the Presbytery for the opportunity to leave some prayer requests with you before we return to Uganda. Ruth and I very much appreciate all of the prayers and the encouragement of the Lord's people across our churches. And over the last number of months, we have had many opportunities to speak about the work in Uganda across our denomination at different meetings. And it has always been a blessing to see the interest that there is in the work of spreading the gospel in Uganda. I'd like to thank those men who gave of their time to cover the pulpit ministry in Uganda during our absence, and also those wives of those men, those who were able to go with them, and also the men who assisted in the work of developing the facilities on the mission station. Do remember the missionaries in prayer, Miss Noreen McAfee, that she will know the Lord's blessing in her work as the principal of the school, and also Mr. Andrew Foster as he coordinates the development of the compound and as he also assists in the preaching ministry from time to time. God willing, Ruth and I will return to Uganda on Monday the 23rd of April, and please I pray that our journey will go smoothly and that we will soon settle into life in Uganda again. We particularly ask for prayer in the matter of learning the local language, which is something we will focus on when we return, and pray that we will be able to present the gospel effectively to men and women and to boys and girls. And to that end, I pray that we will be able to overcome cultural barriers in presenting clearly the Word of God. One of the greatest difficulties in preaching the gospel in Uganda is the awkwardness in the way in which we as Westerners interact with the people of East Africa. We as Western Europeans bring with us a mindset of a very materialistic culture, and that impacts how we view people in societies without the excess of material possessions that we take as standard here. And the danger on our part is that we look at Ugandans and we feel sorry for them because they don't have all of the things that we have, and without knowing it we can actually be showing them a great deal of disrespect. And the danger on their part is that they look at us and the way that we live and they think that we have an endless supply of money that will provide them with a more Western standard of living. And there are great threats to the gospel in this exchange. First of all, we are wrong to assume that our way of life is necessarily always better than theirs. And if we export to Uganda the materialism that is such a hindrance to our spiritual lives here, we will have done a great disservice to the people that we minister to. Secondly, Uganda is blighted by a health and wealth gospel that falsely claims that coming to Christ brings a physical and material betterment. And of course, And the Word of God teaches us that the gospel gives no such guarantee. The Scripture tells us that having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And thirdly, the Ugandan people are well able to work for the development and progress of their own country. But what they can never do is work their way to heaven. And so our challenge is to bring to Uganda the pure Word of God, and not the Word of God mixed with or tainted by our Western attitudes. And as we pray for help in this matter, we are encouraged by the instruction of God's Word. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, he speaks of the great responsibility that is his as a preacher. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And in the verses that follow in that chapter, he goes on to explain that as he brought the gospel to different people in different lands, he sought to leave his own cultural baggage behind and simply bring the pure Word of God. And particularly from verses 19 through to verse 23, he explains that he would be as flexible in his ministry as the Word of God permitted him to be, and he sought to tread very carefully around issues relating to the different backgrounds that people had in different parts of the world. If you notice what he says in verse 19, "For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake." And therefore pray for us that the gospel preached to the glory of God will ever be our central ambition. And as we evangelise in a society that is very different to our own, by the help of God may we be able, in the biblical sense, to be all things to all men, that we might by all means save some. Thank you.
It is a joy this afternoon for me to be at this convention. It is a number of years since I've had this opportunity. But I would like to thank our denomination for the almost 35 years of prayerful, financial and moral support to do the work of God in Kenya, and particularly our own mission board of this denomination. And I do appreciate all the help I have received over the years, and all the help that the work of God has been given over the years. After a turbulent year in the political life of Kenya in 2017, that almost brought the country to a standstill, life gradually got back to normal in January and February of this year. We had not only one general election, but we had two elections last year. And it certainly was a tense and difficult time. But gradually things have got back to normal. But the slowing of the economy due to that, all that happened in 2017, did take its toll also on the reporting of children to school in January, which is the new school year. And this did also affect the enrolment in the academy in Kapenguria. Parents just didn't have the money to get their children to school. But we thank God that while there has been a reduction in the enrolment of around 17%, we are thankful for all the children and young people that we do have in the school. While not having 600 students, we now have almost 500. And we are thankful to God for what all those that are in that institution. With the reduction in enrolment, it also means a reduction in the finance and the ready cash that is at hand to run the affairs of the Academy. And so I would ask you today to continue to remember very especially the school in your prayers, and that God will continue to provide the needs and continue to support the work of that institution. It is a great opportunity for the gospel, and I personally still enjoy the great opportunity of sharing the gospel with so many young people and students. And so I do ask you to continue very much to pray and support the work of the BCFC Christian Academy in Capengorea. The Sunday School ministry also goes on. Even though I have not had the same time to be able to assist it, but I thank God for all the teachers who are teaching there. And during this month of April, we will be having 26 special meetings, which are Parents' Days and Prize Giving. Those meetings will be held on the 15th and 22nd of April. And I ask you to pray. Those meetings, the purpose of them is to be a means of outreach, to reach out to parents and to see them under the sound of the gospel. So I do ask you to pray much for the Sunday School ministry as it goes on, and pray that God will continue to raise up teachers and those who will take this work upon their hearts and be able to shoulder more of the responsibility. I also ask you to pray for the ongoing ministry of the Bible Christian Faith Church. And we're thankful for the pastors, for the workers that are there, but they do need your prayers that God will continue his hand upon them and give them greater vision for the work of the gospel and greater burden of soul for the lost in their own land. So do pray for the BCFC, and also pray for their bookshops. They did have a difficult time nearer the end of the year because of all that was going on in the country. And today those bookshops in Kitale and Mokutana do need your prayers. Also, the work of the radio ministry continues week by week through Let the Bible Speak in Kitale and also in Kakamega. And the Reverend Patterson is preparing those programs. Do pray for the gospel as it's preached on the airwaves in Kenya every week. I would also, if I need to bring to your attention today, the great need of workers in the land of Kenya. In 2016, Gillian Gillespie returned home, and the Lord opened a door of great ministry for her there in Enniskillen. In 2017, as you know, just a year ago exactly now, Noreen McAfee relocated to Uganda. Next month, Kathy Walker is retiring and going home to Florida, to her home. And I would ask you to pray very much for Kathy at this particular time. She has done a great work in Kenya for 9 years, and the Lord has really used her in the Kakamega area. She has opened, been enabled by God to open a ministry there in the bookshop in Kakamega, and the Lord has blessed, and she has made many contacts for the gospel. And many pastors from other churches have come in to that shop in Kakamega and been amazed at the type of literature that there is in that bookshop. And the Lord has blessed her ministry, but now it is the time for her to retire. And I would ask you today to very particularly remember her father, who has not been well over the past week, and he's been hospitalized. And her parents are elderly. He's 87 years of age. And I would ask you to pray very particularly that God will keep his hand upon her father. But with the leaving of Kathy, we can truly say today the laborers are few in Kenya. Reverend Gregory McCammon has gone out to Kenya just last week. He will be there for 1 month, and he will be preaching down there in Kakamega and in the Nyaporo church. But the labourers are few. If I find it difficult personally, and today in Kenya, I can also say that the Kenyan believers and the Kenyan church are also finding it difficult. The believers there don't understand why there has been this movement. I know this is natural, and the years go on, and I'm also preparing for my own retirement. But it is very difficult for them, because over the years we have built up friendships, and there has been always a missionary there, someone there who is there to teach and to preach the Word of God. So in remembering the great need in Kenya, do remember the church as well, as it is going through a difficult time today. But as I've said, the work in Kakamega is an open door for the gospel, and it's an effective door. But you know, when Kathy leaves next month, there will be no one there. There is rented accommodation. There is a car there. There's lots of heat there as well. And there's an opportunity for the gospel and an open door. And I am seeking the Lord much, and I am laying before you this afternoon the great need of the work of God in the land of Kenya for labourers, and in particularly in that Kakamega area, that someone will be raised up to go and to take carry on that ministry for the gospel. You know, almost 40 years ago, I remember as a young person being in this church in the Easter Convention. And I was standing somewhere down there after the meeting. And I was talking to the late Margaret Armstrong. And it was the first time and only time I talked to her. You know, I don't remember really what she told me. But what I remember was the tears that she shed for the land of Kenya. And amazingly, today I stand here all these years later, and I still have, I understand her tears. And I have that burden of soul this afternoon that God will thrust forth labourers into the land of Kenya. Is there anyone to go? And my prayer is that there would be someone here even this afternoon who would hear the voice of God saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And that the response would be, "Here am I, send me." Remember Kenya today in your prayers, and I look to the Lord that he will raise up labourers in the days that lie ahead. Do pray. Please continue to give, and please come over and help us. Thank you.
On behalf of all of you, I'd like to thank Stephen and Margaret for speaking today. A young man heading out, starting out his service for the Lord, and a lady who has already been on the field 35 years. And surely it teaches us that the work goes on. We need it to go on, need people to do the work. I felt myself personally transported back about 36 years, maybe 37 actually. As Margaret was speaking, I remember at an Isle of Man camp standing in the badminton court. Mr. Mineri ran the camp, and Margaret was there as a leader, and I was there as a camper. And even 36, 37 years ago, just before she went out, she was going round all the young people, and I was one of them. And she was drumming up support for Kenya. Would you not go? Would you not go? I just thought to myself, all these years later, there's still the same need. And I heard her repeat the same burden for people to go. This would probably be the greatest convention of your life if the Lord was to lay his hand on you this afternoon and say,
you're the one. You're the one to go. Make sure you heed the voice of the Lord and go. And then maybe in 35 years' time, you'll be standing here like Margaret saying, thank the Lord for all those years of service. It was worth it all. May the Lord bless those challenges to all of our hearts. I think it's appropriate at this point in the service that we're going to call now upon the students from the Whitfield College of the Bible, those who have heard the call of God. They're going to come and sing. We're very thankful for them. We need them. And we trust that God will bless them all now as they minister to us.
Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe, it will joy and comfort give you, take it then wherever you go, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Suffered neath God's rage, draped in his righteousness I'm justified. In Christ I live, for in my place he died. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God is strange from God. But by such love my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. His robes for mine, what cause have I for dread? God's daunting love, Christ mastered in my stead. Faultless I stand, with righteous works abide. Saved by my Lord's vicarious death and light. His wounds for mine, God's justice is appeased. Jesus is crushed, and thus the Father's pleased. Christ drank God's wrath on sin, then cried, 'Tis done. Sin's wages paid, propitiation won. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, Christ none can know. Christ God's beloved, condemned as though his foe. He as though I, accursed and left alone. I as though he, embraced and welcomed home. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ
alone. I'd like to thank the students of the Whitfield College of the Bible for singing to us. And you will be able to gauge now that, you know the way when you're making up your list of who would be an eligible candidate for our vacant congregation, and you're thinking, not only must he be a good preacher and a good visitor, but, you know, a good singer would be very helpful as well. They could lead to singing. Well, you've got boxes ticked there. One after another. That was pretty good singing. And these guys have even released a CD, so they're not bad at all. I would like to add my words of welcome to those of Reverend Murray's already. Thank you for coming this Easter Monday afternoon. And we trust you'll make it through right to the evening meeting and even be joined by others as well. The offering will soon be taken up, and the offerings over the weekend, well, there are expenses involved with the convention, but after the expenses are taken out, then the monies will be going to causes that have been brought before you at the meetings over the weekend. It was a fantastic, pretty much incredible offering on Friday night of over £4,500, and we give you great thanks for that. If anybody's looking to purchase DVDs or CDs of the meetings, then the main office behind me, ground floor, go in there, single disc, £2, the set, £5, your choice CD or DVD. On the first floor of the Jubilee Church, you've got the Bethel Bookshop and also the Whitfield College, and they've got book tables there. Some second-hand material, some brand-new material. Have a browse there in the interval, although we know that time in the interval is quite precious. Some places to go, potentially, depending on the age. United Children's Camp for those aged 8 through 12, Monday the 30th of July through to Friday the 3rd of August. That's at Humphreys, at Rathmore in Larne. All-inclusive cost, £130. Only 8 places still available. For all I know, I haven't had an update since Friday, there may not be 8 places now available, but application forms you can download from the Mission Board website or contact either Reverend McKean or Reverend Harris. Then for everybody, the age group is not specified here, as you'll understand why, Free Presbyterian International Congress. It's hosted this year by the Malvern Free Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. Relevant dates, Friday 27th of July through Monday the 6th of August. So basically, throw the kids to the camp and then you head to America. Don't think they'd really appreciate that. For by, there's a bit of an overhang there, as I'm sure you've noticed. Overall theme for that Congress is Christ, our prophet, priest, king, advocate and friend. And the price, approximately £1,500. That includes flights, accommodation, day trips over to the Amish country and places of historical interest on the east coast of America. contact Reverend Roger Higginson for any details there. Again, 40 names have been registered. There are very limited spaces, and if you are interested, then you would need to be making contact as soon as possible. I have been asked to announce some very sad, in fact tragic news. And there is a brother over in Uganda who has done quite a bit of work for the mission board in time gone by, largely administrative work in setting up registration, etc. His name is Douglas, and his wife Farida was one of many involved in a serious road accident on Friday past. Seven lives were taken through that accident. Initially, she sustained serious injuries, that was mentioned, but she has not sadly recovered from those injuries. And Farida went to be with Christ just yesterday morning. She was only 33 years of age, three young children, and they have, in addition to that, responsibility for 17 orphaned children. So do pray, please, for Douglas and for the family there. Reverend David Park from our Ballymoney congregation was asked to conduct the funeral service. That is happening tomorrow, God willing, and he has flown out to Uganda already. Pray for the ministry of the word at that service. Also pray for Noring, our own missionary there, who has had a difficult few days. And if anyone is wishing to help the work there and this family financially, then you could donate to the Emergency Relief Fund that our mission board has. Contact for details there, Reverend Harris or Mr. Alistair Hamilton. Regarding eating between the services, afternoon and evening one, tea, coffee, etc. provided on the top floor of the Jubilee Complex. You can access that by stairs or by lifts. By the look of some of the hampers people were trailing in with them today, it's going to be a lot of people going on the lifts, because you'll never carry that material up the stairs unless you've been to the gym before you came here. It looks to me that some of you are going to engage in your final meal before Christmas, because you'll not need to eat between now and then. Mind you, having said that, I put up on Facebook yesterday a photograph, all very carefully posed, of a whole array of Easter eggs and treats that I felt I'm just going to gorge into in the afternoon. And I would have done, only for another bout of sinusitis that put paid to all of that. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I know there's little chance of that ever being reality. But I think I put up the tagline, I really love Easter dinners. I haven't opened one single Easter egg this year. And just in case you're nipping out after this service on your way home and have no intention of coming back to the evening meeting, but rather you're going now to visit my house, I have it well security alarmed, and I live in a neighbourhood watch area, so it wouldn't be advised. Upstairs for the team, some of you may well be tempted to leave your handbags behind, you know, markers on the seat. In other words, anybody comes in, that seat's claimed. Leave your hat, leave your coat, but don't leave your handbag. There was an incident on Friday night, I'll not go into details, but that's why I'm saying, don't leave your handbag. Evening meeting starts at 7 o'clock, prayer meeting prior to that from 6:15 to 6:45. That'll be in a room at the back of the Jubilee Church, on the right-hand side of that. There are reports tonight in the evening meeting, there'll be a DVD from the prison ministry. Most people will not know very much about the prison ministry, but that has been a very valuable work, has been ongoing for many years. Do come along and tune into that particular report. LTBS. There'll be a presentation from them as well. The Greer Brothers will be singing. Lisburn Meal Choir will also be singing. And the preacher tonight at 7, Reverend Gordon Dean, our deputy moderator from our Cross Gar congregation. And of course, final announcement, the Kids Club organised by Martyrs Youth Worker, Mr. Phil Harton, ably assisted by many other helpers. That will be on, as it is on now. It'll be on again during the evening service tonight, and then at the very end of the meeting, those children that have been engaged in the kids' clubs today will be coming in and will be participating at the tail end of the evening service. Thank you.
Our offering hymn is hymn number 116. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Saviour, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. We remain seated as the offering is taken up to cover all of the expenses and then everything else going to support all of the missionary causes represented at the Easter Convention. Hymn number 116. Last verse, please. Wonderful singing. Maybe some of you are wondering, why am I here today? Well, I was one of those ones that was out earlier today with a wee granddaughter at the aquarium at Portaferry, at lunchtime, and the phone went. It was Reverend Brown wanting to know, was I coming to the convention? Yes, I was coming to the convention. Right, he says, you could lead the meeting and introduce the speakers. And I thought, well, that's fine, but who's going to introduce me? Because I've found over the last couple of months, no matter where I go in the free church, nobody knows me. And if you want to join the queue and be about number 1,572 who says to me, you're only half the man you used to be, well then, join the queue. All I can say is this, if you want to succeed in what I've succeeded in, stay off the eggs the Reverend Brown was talking about. I've proven. And the profit margins in Cadbury's have certainly gone down over the last 5 months. That's due to me, or what I have not been doing. But anyway, I'm glad to be here, and glad for the opportunity just to introduce the speakers and bring them up, and we're glad to do that for the Lord. Now we're going to hear from the Reverend Colin Mercer, minister of our Oma Free Presbyterian Church. Our presbytery very recently appointed the Reverend Mercer as the new editor of the Vision magazine, and the Reverend Mercer is going to come now and speak to us upon that subject.
I'd like to thank the Reverend Murray for the words of introduction and the opportunity to come today. Several weeks ago, I was at home and I received a phone call from a friend in North America. He was driving his car to his workplace. He's an electrician, and as we were talking, I could hear him pulling into the place where he was working. And he was meeting someone there, and I could hear part of their conversation. And he said to the man that he was meeting, he said, I have a vision problem today. This man doesn't wear glasses, so I was interested to hear what he was going to say. And the other gentleman I was meeting said, I didn't realize you had a problem with your eyes. He says, I don't. I just don't see myself doing very much today. And then 2 or 3 hours later, Reverend Murray contacted me, the moderator, and asked, would I give a report today on the Vision magazine? Now, I had a vision problem as well. But it is good to be here. And as you'll know, for the past 5 years, the Free Presbyterian Vision has been the official organ of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. Some of the older members here will remember the various magazines we used to have, the Revivalist and the Truth for Youth, the Harvest Times, the occasional publication from the Education Board as well. And those magazines served a vital purpose in our denomination for many years, providing news, and biblical studies, youth information, congregational events, and up-to-date accounts on our missionary activity, both home and abroad. But 5 years ago, the Presbytery decided to introduce a new magazine, combine all of those various publications into one, and it was new in many ways. A new name, a new format, and also a new editor. When I was given the opportunity to bring this report, I decided to Google the question, what makes for a good church magazine? When I Googled that, I discovered that one writer had listed 10 points, 10 things that should be in every good church magazine. Since I found it in Google, it must be right, after all. Things like Bible studies, articles on relevant information, scripture passages, information from various churches, photographs, young people's articles, all of those kind of things were listed there. And as I went down the list, I discovered that the Vision magazine has all 10 of them. That's no doubt due in large part to the diligent work of the magazine's first editor, the Reverend Timothy Nelson. He had previously served as the editor of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly and brought those years of experience with him into this new role. And he has done a sterling job and under God has been greatly used in the establishing of the magazine over those past years. His undoubted skill as an editor has served the denomination very well in that particular matter. And we wish him well now as he takes on the role of the principal of our college. A number of associate editors work in the magazine also. The Reverend Leslie Curran has provided the devotional material on the third page for all the issues for the past 5 years. The Reverend Gareth Wilson has taken care of the youth section and others have helped him with that. We have all the regular contributors, Mrs. Olive Maxwell and Mr. Robert McConnell. They take part every issue, and also the chairman of the mission board, the Reverend Ian Harris, contributes for the missionary section at the closing part of the magazine. The name, the Free Presbyterian Vision, was chosen deliberately. It's a twofold significance. The word vision in Scripture is often used in reference to the Word of God itself. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, we read of the days of Samuel that the word of the Lord was precious, and in those days there was no open vision. And then in Proverbs 29 and verse 18, we're told where there is no vision, the people perish. In both cases there, the word vision has to do with the word of God. When Samuel was young, there was no prophet to preach the word, no one to proclaim the message of God. And so the word vision, therefore, in that context, has to do with the ministry of God's word. And our magazine, entitled The Vision, has that great purpose, to be a means of spreading the word of God, to be used in the extension of God's kingdom. The lead article often has to do with a scriptural truth, some particular message. And it's our aim to educate and to edify the Lord's people and to evangelize the lost that surround us. For where there is no vision, the people perish. So it has that tremendous emphasis of the word of God. But the word vision has another significance, another meaning, the idea of a burden or the idea of a concern. And that's an integral part of the work as well. That we might, as we read the reports of missionary work at home and abroad, the youth camps, the children's work, and various aspects of God's work among us, that the Lord would instill within our hearts a deep vision for that work. The Lord would burden our souls for it and enable us to serve him in our own generation. There are many different facets to the work of the Free Church, both here and across the world. We have our local congregations, our home and foreign mission endeavour, our Christian schools, our university and prison chaplains, the Let the Bible Speak ministry, the various committees of presbytery, the work of our presbytery month by month, and we strive to give space to all of those different departments in the work of God connected with our denomination. And it's our prayer as we highlight those that the Lord will burden our hearts for them, and the prayer will be encouraged and interest maintained in the work of God. I'm very thankful, very grateful for all those who forward photographs of church events, of presentations, of retirements, the ordination of elders, and various aspects of congregational life. A picture's worth a thousand words, and those are vital, and they add always to the magazine. At present, we're printing 3,150, 3,200 magazines 6 times a year, and unlike many things, we continue throughout the summer months as well. The magazines are distributed at presbytery, sent out to the various churches here at home, and oftentimes there is an electronic version that's sent out to our missionaries as they serve across the world. The average church magazine in the UK costs around £2.50 per issue. Our cost is around £1 per issue, and that comes in at very good value at that, and we strive to keep that at a reasonable cost for our members and friends in the congregations. When the Presbytery decided to publish a new church magazine, it established also a publications committee. Brethren who serve on that at Presbytery level, it's presently chaired by the Reverend Ron Johnson. He oversees the work of the publications committee, and the committee oversee the work of the Vision magazine. It provides very helpful support with the business side of the magazine, and the expertise of these brethren really add to the smooth running of the operation to make sure the magazine is in your hands in good time. Mr. Colin McKee is the business manager of it. He takes a lion's share of the work when it comes to the financial arrangements and the distribution of the magazine as well. Let me say a word just about our publishers. From the very inception of the magazine, it has been published by Pepper Collective, and this company takes care of the design and the layout. It ensures the printing of it is on time, and it's their responsibility to source certain graphics for us and liaise with the editor and produce the quality magazine that we've had over these past number of years. We are indebted to them for the work that they do for us in regard to the magazine. The magazine is only part of our presbytery's media output. In recent years, a revamped and very attractive website was launched, and that gives us a worldwide presence. We're conscious that most people are internet savvy, and it's been my experience that many people, before they ever visit a church for the first time, will very often nowadays just simply Google that, and they'll see what the church is about, what the minister looks like. Whether that helps them decide for or against, I'm not sure, They'll look into the doctrinal statement, into the distinctives of the church, and then we trust that they will decide to visit. If you have opportunity to visit freepresbyterian.org, you'll see there a host of information about our purpose as a denomination, our vision, our missionaries, our congregations, various events that are listed there as well in calendar order. That event page allows each congregation to upload events that are coming in the local congregation, and they appear in order of date as the dates come and go. It provides an excellent resource for anyone who wants to look into the Free Church before actually coming to visit one of our congregations. And let me encourage our ministers and our congregations to use the website. Put up events. If people go and see that there's nothing happening in the church, or nothing has happened for 4 years or 3 years, there's been no update, nothing changed, then it gives a poor impression. But if the website's kept up to date and it's fresh, then it gives the impression that things are happening and there's an interest taken in the work of God. So do look out the website, take time to check into that, and use it as widely as we can for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last year we were thinking of the Reformation anniversary, and Martin Luther used the printing press that had just been newly invented to great effect and caused the spread of the gospel far and fast by that means. And we have tremendous means at our disposal in these days, and we ought to use all of that for the Lord's glory and for the promotion of his cause and for the extension of his kingdom. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4 that Timothy might give attention and attendance to reading. And the purpose of our magazine, the purpose of our website, is that we might give ourselves to the things of God, to educate ourselves and to edify, be edified and evangelize through all means. And if I can encourage you to take the magazine, subscribe to it, take extra subscriptions, pass them on to friends, pass them on to neighbors, make it free of charge to those people and encourage them to read them. And I pray the Lord will encourage our hearts as we see what is taking place, what the Lord is doing in our congregations and across our missionary work. May the Lord bless that for his own glory and for his name's sake. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, Reverend Mercer. I'm now going to call upon Mrs. Patricia Hamilton. Patricia is going to sing to us just now. May the Lord bless Patricia. She comes, and after Patricia sings, the Reverend John Woods is going to read God's Word.
Control as your perfect plan was fulfilled. We see the love that you showed us. We see the life that you lost. We stand in wonder and praise you for that beautiful, terrible cross. We gained the riches of heaven. You paid the horrible cost. We stand forgiven and praise you for that beautiful, terrible cross. For that beautiful, terrible cross. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Beautiful cross, terrible cross. Beautiful cross, terrible cross. To us beside, can I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me. Cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread. You lead me and keep me from falling. You come its flight to realms of day. This my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the goodness and mercy will its flight to realms of day. This my song through endless ages. Jesus led me away.
Let's turn, please, in God's Word to 2 Kings and the chapter 2. 2 Kings and the chapter 2. And we're reading from the opening verse. Second Kings chapter 2. The verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elisha said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Amen, and may God bless the reading of his word to your hearts this afternoon.
I'd like to thank Patricia for singing, we appreciate it, and the Reverend Woods for reading God's word. Now it remains for me to hand over to our moderator, the Reverend Thomas Murray, the minister of Cumber Free Presbyterian Church, to bring the word of the Lord to us today. We trust that God will richly bless him and also bless us through the preaching of the word this afternoon. Reverend Murray.
Could I thank our brother for the words of welcome and the introduction this afternoon? It's quite dangerous and confusing to have two Murrays in the pulpit at the one time. And I was hoping that you might get confused and think he was introducing himself, and that I could slip down the back and slip round and enjoy the rest of the meeting. I'm a little apprehensive this afternoon because the last time I preached here, I was just getting into flow about the first 5 minutes, and my hand hit the microphone and the microphone went flying off, and we didn't have the microphone for the rest of the meeting. But it is a joy to be here, and it's been a particular joy to hear the reports on Friday evening and then also the reports this evening of the various works that is going on. And it's good to know that God is working and that God is still building his church in the day in which we live. I want to turn to that passage that was read together, 2 Kings and the chapter 2. But before we turn to it, perhaps we could ask you to stand just for a word of prayer, just to change our position even at this stage. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you this evening for thy presence with us. We thank you, Lord, that our hearts have been challenged. We rejoice that thou art building thy church. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst make us ever useful in thine hands, that we might be a means even in helping thee see thy work grow and prosper in these days. We thank thee for the scriptures that have been read together. We rejoice it is thy word breathed by thee. And Lord, we thank thee this afternoon that thou hast a word even for our hearts. And I ask, Lord, that thou wouldst help me even now as I turn to thy word. Lord, bring to my remembrance the things that thou would have us to say. And I pray that by thy Spirit that thou wouldst apply them to this preacher's heart. Lord, save us from preaching to others and not to ourselves. But Lord, we pray that there might be a word for each heart gathered here. Lord, we long for nothing more and nothing less than to be able to say that we have heard the voice of the Lord. So Lord, be with us now and help us, for we throw ourselves upon thee. And we ask these things for thy honor and thy glory. Amen. The second book of Kings, the chapter 2, I want to draw your attention to that portion that our brother read, but perhaps we could read again just the verse 11. 2 Kings chapter 2, and we read in the verse 11, And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, the horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. As we come into this chapter, we find the prophet Elijah on the move once again. During his ministry, he had traveled as far north as Damascus and as far south as Mount Sinai, and from the deserts east of the Jordan to the heights of Mount Carmel. However, he was now on his final journey. Aware that his eternal Sabbath was drawing nigh, he bid farewell to the sons of the prophets. Leaving them for the last time, he came down to the banks of the River Jordan, smiting its shimmering flow with his mantle, by its waters were severed in twain, passing over dry shod, and realizing time was now exceedingly short, his thoughts were drawn towards his servant Elisha. Being pleased by his faithfulness and wishing to reward him, he asked him a very important question. He asked, "What shall I do for thee?" And promising to grant his petition, Elijah was then suddenly met by a chariot of fire, accompanied by flaming horses, a great whirlwind seizing him. It carried him upwards into the realms of glory. And the manner of his passing here is hardly surprising. When we look back over his life, we find him sweeping like a whirlwind across the land, calling down fire. He, like a chariot, he had defended the nation against its enemies. Now leaving this world in a whirlwind, accompanied by a chariot of fire, we see that he was leaving this world as he had lived in this world. His leaving was similar to his life. And you know, as a man lives in this world, so he will leave this world. His death will not and it cannot be different from his life. Indeed, rebuking Peter for cutting off the high priest's servant ear, the Lord said to him, "They that take the sword shall perish with the sword." And he warned him that if he lived by the sword, then he would perish, or he would leave this world by the sword. Again, the prophet Hosea warned, "They that have sown the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind." And what a man sows in life, he will eventually reap in death. He cannot live as a sinner and die as a saint. Indeed, we look back through history, we think of John Wesley, that great preacher. And John Wesley, speaking of those early Methodists, he used to say concerning them that not only did they live well, but they died well. The English martyr John Bradford, going to the stake, he turning to the young man who was burning by his side, he said to him, "Be of good comfort, brother, for we shall have a merry supper with the Lord this night." And you see, if we are going to die like these believers, then we also need to live like these believers. We need to have their faith. We need to have the resolve. We need to have their zeal in our hearts. If you're going to die well, then you need to live well. If you're going to die rejoicing in Christ, then you need to live rejoicing in Christ. My, as we live, so will we die. And so, believer, we need to even think not only of today, but we need to think of the day of our departure. So that even in death, that we leave behind a good testimony. As we live is how we will die. And so I want this afternoon simply to draw your attention to the prophet as he is now leaving this world. I want you to notice firstly here that it was a time for working. If you knew that this was your last day on earth, how would you spend it? Realizing time was short, Elijah, traveling over 30 miles, he passed through Gilgal and Bethel. Then, coming through the city of Jericho, he descended down into the valley of the Jordan. And you notice here that there was continuation. Look again at the verse 4. And Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. as well as confronting the wickedness in high places, Elijah set up a number of schools across the land for the training of the sons of the prophets. And knowing time was short, he now came down to the school in Gilgal and then to the one in Jericho, gathering the students around his feet. I can almost hear him telling them how the fire descending upon Mount Carmel, that it had burned up the sacrifice, how he, taking the sword, he had slain those prophets of Baal and cast their lifeless bodies into the waters of the Kishon. And knowing time was short, we find him here continually on the move. There was no stopping, no pausing. He was continually preaching, continually teaching, moving from one place to another. And time being short, better to lose anything than time. Because once it has passed, it cannot be recalled or reused. Indeed, in the New Testament, the age darkening down, Paul said in Ephesians 5 in the verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The word redeem there simply means to buy up. Rather than squandering their time, they were to be buying it up. They were to be using it for the Savior. And being redeemed, we are to be redeeming the time. We're to be grasping every opportunity, every minute, and using it for the Lord. If I was to ask you this afternoon, how many days are there? You might say, my, there is this number or that number. But you know, in reality, there are only 3 days. There is yesterday, there is today, and then there is tomorrow. William Marsden, surveying 3,000 people, he discovered that 94% of them were enduring today in order to get to tomorrow. But you know, tomorrow is but a vision, and yesterday is but a dream past. All that you really have is today. And my friend, lose today, and it's gone. And it's gone. Forever. Realizing this, Theodore Beza, translating the Gospel of the John, he turning to his scribe, he said, write fast, for I'm dying. And when he had got to the last verse, he said, now shut up the book and leave me alone for a minute. And lying back upon his chair, he entered in to the realms of glory. You see, we don't know what tomorrow holds. Time being short, don't squander it. Don't save it. But my friend, use it. Seek to reach that person today, because tomorrow your path might not cross. Tomorrow you might be in glory. Tomorrow that individual might be in eternity. Oh, believer, time, grasp it, use it. How many, when they come to the end of their lives, they talk about regrets. They say, I wish I'd done this. I wish I had done that. I wish I had done the other. Elijah was using every moment. Use every moment God has given you. Use it for his service and for his glory. Not only was there continuation, but there was sanctification. Undeterred by the blistering sun, we read in verse 1, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Gilgal was an historical place, crossing over the Jordan. It was there that Joshua had raised up 12 memorial stones. And that occasion, recalling the goodness of God, he then commanded all the males to be circumcised. Of course, circumcision, speaks of a cutting off of the flesh. And having passed through Gilgal, he then came down to the Jordan, which signifies judgment. It flowing into the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea speaks to us of death. And as such in his journey here, we find him figuratively cutting off, dying to the flesh. And my friend, a sanctified heart is always better than a silver tongue. And as such in discovering sin, there must be a dying to it. Indeed, being risen with Christ, Paul instructing the Colossians as how to live the Christian life. He said in Colossians 3 in the verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Unlike our modern society where the word mortify has come to mean to embarrass, it means here to put to death. And Paul writing unto these Colossians, he was telling them not merely to embarrass the flesh, but there was to be a putting of it even to death. You see, rather than spoiling, there must be a slaying of the old man, a discovering and a destroying of those sins that rise in our hearts. Sometimes people say, I don't like such negative preaching. Oh, I wish that the preachers would be much more positive in their preaching. Can you imagine, my, your child, your only child, being taken ill with appendicitis? No amount of positive thinking on behalf of the doctor will save your child's life. You can give your child ice cream. You can mop his brow. You can tell him wonderful and great stories and tell him all that it will be well. But the poison spreading through his system, he will eventually breathe his last. You see, there must be a resorting to the knife. A cutting out of sin. A cutting off of those things that God has spoken to your heart even about. Unlike Elijah, we don't know the moment that we'll be called away. And as such, believer, we need to be ready every day to meet the Lord. And if there's sins in your heart, if there's sins in your life that God has been speaking to your heart, that God has been highlighting as you've read the scriptures, as you've sat under the preaching of the Word of God, there needs to be a dealing with them. There needs to be a putting of those things even to death. We need to crucify the old man living unto Christ. Not only was there here, my, this work of sanctification, but there was consecration. Knowing time was now running out, we read in verse 2, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. In the first 6 verses of this chapter, the words the Lord hath sent appeared no less than 3 times over. Coming to Gilgal, the Lord then sent him to Bethel, and then to Jericho, and then down to the Jordan. And although he knew that time was now running out, there was no questioning of the divine will. Time after time, he submitting. He went. You see, as well as discovering, there must be a doing of the will of God. A putting of it into practice in our lives. Indeed, the urging the Jewish converts to put away all manner of filthiness. James then turning from the negative to the positive. He said in James 1 verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The phrase, but be ye, speaks here of that which is continual. In other words, hearing the word of God, they were not only to go and to do it, but they were to be continually doing it. The will of God is not something merely to be understood. It is something to be undertaken. There must be a swift and complete submitting to it. Someone once said to Stonewall Jackson, "If the providence of God seemed to direct you to drop every scheme of life and of personal advancement and go on a mission to the heart of Africa for the rest of your days, could you do it without demur or without protest?" His eyes flashing, he said, "I could go without my hat." And I wonder, my friend, are you ready to do the will of God? If God was to come to you today and say, "I want you to go," are you ready to go? We often sing, "Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so." And I wonder, child of God, this afternoon, have you really learned to trust him so? If God was to come to you today and say, "I want you to get involved in the Sunday school work." If God said to you today, "I want you to get involved in open air work." If God was to come to you today and say, "I want you to leave Ulster and I want you to go and help in the land of Kenya." My friend, are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? Here was a man, and he was ready to go. Are you ready today to do the will of God? It's a time to work. The day is dark. It's a time to work. But I think as we look at Elijah here, we also find that it was a time for walking. Though the sun was beating down, he refused to slacken his pace, reaching Jericho and then descending down towards the Jordan. You notice here there was progress in his walk. Setting forth, we read in verse 8, "And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither so that they went over in dry ground." Seeking to explain away the scripture, skeptics would have us believe that there is no miracle here. They argue that there was simply a landslide a little bit upstream, and that allowed Elijah now to cross safely over the Jordan. However, notice there the words "dry ground." Even if they were correct, the riverbed would still have been wet. It would have taken days for the river bed to dry out, and by that time, the waters would have broken through upstream. You see, walking in the will of God, the Jordan, which seemed an insurmountable obstacle, was suddenly opened, suddenly swept away. And where God's finger pounds, his hand always makes a way. He transforms the rivers into roads and the mountains into doorways. Indeed, speaking of the Savior's ministry, John the Baptist said in Luke chapter 3 in the verse 5, "Every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill shall be brought low." Mountains in the Word of God speak of obstacles. For example, Sanballat standing in the way of Zerubbabel, the Lord said, "Who art thou, great mountain?" And as such, in promising here to lower the mountains, he was promising to take away every obstacle. The Lord not only plans our way, but he prepares our way. Lowering the mountains, he fills the valleys. That Easter day, over 2,000 years ago, Mary making her way to the tomb, her heart was heavy. Her Lord had been crucified, and more than that, how would she move that great stone away from the mouth of the tomb? But when she got there, it was gone. The children of Israel fleeing the horrors of Egypt, they came to the Red Sea and they wondered, how will we pass through? But when they got there and they obeyed, the waters opened up and they passed through safely. And maybe God has been speaking to you over the last weeks or the last number of months, and he's been setting some task before you. But as you've lifted your eyes, you have seen mountain range after mountain range. My friend, listen. There are no difficulties with God. Those difficulties are only in your mind. And if God has called you to be a Sunday school teacher, he will give you the ability to teach that class. If God has called you to enter into our college and to serve as the minister, he'll give you the ability to get those exams that you need to get, and he'll give you the ability to go through the college. If God has called you to go to the land of Kenya and might have to learn a new language or some other land, my friend, he'll give you the ability to do that task. God opens the rivers. God makes a way through the mountains. And I say to you this afternoon, don't hide behind that mountain. But trust God. Step out. And if you do, he'll open the waters. He'll remove the mountain. There was purpose in his walk, but more than that, there was progress in his walk, but there was also purpose in his walk. We read there in verse 2, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Why the name Bethel means the house of God. It was no longer at this time God's dwelling place. The kingdom splitting in two. In the days of Jeroboam, he had set up a golden calf there. And in bringing Elisha here and in urging him to remain here, he was showing him the awful depths of apostasy in the land. And more than that, he was teaching him the need of persistence. And in going on then to Jericho and then to the Jordan, he was by his example and by his exhortations preparing his young servant to take over. You see, as well as praying for the next generation, there needs to be a preparing of the next generation. And getting them ready to take over. You remember Peter or Paul writing unto the aged men and women, he said in Titus 2 and in the verses 3 and 4, the aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And they were, by their words and by their example, to prepare the young ones, my, to live the Christian life and to go through with God. And you see, rather than driving, we're to be leading the young people. By our lives and by our lips, preparing them to take over. Patrick Hamilton played an important role in the setting up of the government in the United States of America. He was a great orator. In one occasion, lifting his voice, he had said, "My, give me liberty or give me death." But you know, while he was a great orator, he had no ability as a businessman. And when he died, his family were gathered around the table. His will was opened. And he began to read the will. And he had written, "This is all the inheritance I can give to my dear family. The religion of Christ will make them rich indeed." And the greatest thing that we can give our children, my, is the gospel. The greatest thing that we can do for them is to prepare them to take over. It's easy to look at the young people. It's easy to criticize them. It's easy to say they should be doing this, they should be doing that, or they should be doing the other thing. But brethren and sisters, us older brethren and sisters, we're to be preparing them by our lives, by our example. Preparing them to take on the work and to go forward with God. Oh, there was not only am I here preparing not only a purpose in his walk, but there was also a partnership in his walk. Look at verse 2. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha saith unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. By these words, he wasn't seeking to get rid of Elisha, but he was merely testing him. Coming to Bethel and then to Jericho, we find him seeking out the sons of the prophets. He desired their company. And you know, while dwelling in separation, we should never slide into isolation. We should always be seeking out the company of those who love the Lord and who are standing fast and firm for him. And I say to you that where'er you be in life, where'er you work, seek out good Christian company. Walk with the people of God. Iron sharpeneth iron. Iron might strengthen you, enable you to walk with God. Oh, believer, today, my, how are you walking? Are you walking with God? Are you making progress? It is most certainly my a time. It is a time for working. It's a time for walking. But I want you to notice lastly in these words, it was a time for weeping. Elijah rising into the heaven. Elisha rent his garments. I can see him there. The tears flowing down his cheeks. But you notice here that he commended the man of God. Look at verse 12 of the chapter. And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, my father. The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. You notice there the words, the chariot of Israel. When you compare these words with his words in 2 Kings chapter 13, you will discover he was not here describing the chariot that had accompanied Elijah up into the realms of glory. But rather, he was here describing the man of God himself. And in describing him here as a flaming chariot, he was indicating that he, the man of God, was the nation's defense. You see, a nation's greatest defense is not its soldiers, but it is its saints. We are the salt of the earth. Sodom's security did not depend upon the armies of Sodom. It did not depend upon the rulers of Sodom. It depended upon how many righteous were within the city. And our nation's security does not depend upon the strength of our soldiers, but it depends upon the strength of our supplications. Matthew Henry, that great man of God, said, better to lose all our men of war than to lose the man of God. My friend, our prayers, our godliness will ward off more enemies than any army. And you know, we look out today and we look across this land and we see sin. We see it in every place. We see wickedness. We see immorality creeping in every hand. We see our culture being changed. And we rightly raise our voice. And my, we blame government and we blame that individual. But we are the nation's defense. We are the salt of the earth. Have we prayed as we ought to have prayed? Have we given ourselves to God as we ought to have given ourselves? Have we stood for him as we ought to have stood? It's easy to blame someone else, but we are the nation's defense. We are the nation's defense. And I wonder, child of God, how often have you wept before God? How often, when you have turned on the news and you have heard of sin, have you got before God with brokenness of heart and cried unto Him? We are the nation's defense. He not only commended the man of God, but you notice also here that he claimed the mantle of God. Look at verse 13. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the banks of the Jordan. Ascending into glory, Elijah rent his garments in twain. Elisha stooping down and picking up that mantle and smiting the waters of the Jordan. Its waters went back. You see, Elijah rising, power descended. Power to overcome every obstacle. And our heavenly master ascending, the mantle descended. He has given us the Holy Spirit whereby we can overcome every obstacle and barrier that stands in our way. The hymn writer wrote, "O spread the tidings round wherever man is found, wherever human heart and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound. The Comforter has come." And the Lord rising, He has not left us to our own strength or to our own skills. But He has given us His Spirit. And as Elisha stooped down and picked up that mantle and went to the waters of the Jordan and smote those waters. Oh, believer, let us fall on our knees and by prayer pick up that mantle and go forward in the might of the Spirit of God. Someone said concerning the Spirit of God descending at Pentecost, the Lord went up, the Spirit came down, the disciples went out, and the lost came in. And if we're going to see sinners come in, we need the Spirit of God. There needs to be a crying, "O Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me." We need His power. He also, notice here, he continued in the mission of God. Look at verse 13. "And he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan." He let nothing, not even the skepticism of the prophets, distract him. Picking up the mantle, he went on with the work. Let nothing hinder you in the work. Not even the hardness of the way. There's a work. There's a work to do. The day was dark in Elijah's day. The day is dark today. There's a work to be done in Elijah's day. Believer, there's a work to be done in our day. Time was running out for Elijah. Time is running out for you and for me. And I wonder this afternoon, are you willing to put your hand to the plow? Are you willing to go where'er God would bid you to go? Are you willing to do the work, whatever that work is, that God would bid you to do? The hymn writer said, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live." And then he went on to say, "I surrender all." And I wonder today, are you willing to surrender all? Are you willing today just to bow before God and say, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" As you bid thy servant and guided him, will you guide me? More than that, Lord, will you make me willing? Will you make me willing to go
and willing to die. There is a need. You've heard of it on Friday night. You've heard of it again now this afternoon. The fields are ripened to harvesting, but the labours are few. And that's true across the world. I think if we're honest, we have to say today that that's true even in many of our congregations. The workers are few. My friend, time is short. Time is running out. Only that which is done for God will count. And I wonder this afternoon, are you willing and ready to go wherever He will command you to go? Let's just bow in prayer. As our eyes are closed, and as we're seeking God, let me repeat just that little verse again. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. And I wonder this afternoon, are you willing to surrender your all? It may be that God wants you to be where you are. But what if God has another plan? Are you willing? Are you willing to go? Elijah left this world being in the place that God wanted him to be. And I wonder this afternoon, if God was to call you away, could you say, preacher, I'm in the place that God wants me to be. I'm doing the work that God wants me to do. Are you in that place? Will you surrender your all? Will you be willing today to go to do whatever the Lord would call you to do? Father in heaven, we thank Thee this evening for Thy saving grace. We thank You, Lord, for lifting us out of the depths of sin, for setting us upon Christ the solid rock. We thank You, Lord, that Thou hast saved us to serve Thee. And Lord, we pray that we might all seek Thy mind and that we might be where Thou would have us to be, doing the work that Thou would have us to do. Lord, give us that surrender, that ability, that strength, even to surrender all and to do Thy will. Be with us now in the closing moments of this service, for Lord, we pray in Thy name and for Thy glory. Amen. Amen.
Just like to thank the moderator for preaching to us today. I'm sure we've all felt the Lord's presence. And we really appreciate the message that He has brought. It has tied in so, so well with everything else that has gone before. Surely the Lord has been in our midst speaking to us this afternoon. We're going to conclude with hymn number 488. I'd like to welcome the Reverend Philip Gardner to the service today. He's our minister in Perth, Free Presbyterian Church, Western Australia. I'm going to call upon the Reverend Gardner to come to the pulpit to close the service in prayer, if he would just come during the singing of this hymn, hymn number 488. Can I just add one thing? If anybody here has felt the Lord speaking to them, has heard the call of God, it's good to speak of those things, lest you go away and the old devil seeks to steal that good seed away. Many ministers are here, and youth fellowship leaders, Sunday school teachers. You talk to someone. If you'd like to speak to any of us afterwards, just come into the back. We'll be around somewhere. But you just speak of how the Lord is dealing with you. Get it out in the open and be prepared to go where the Lord wants you to go. Don't hold back and don't miss the call of God. We're going to stand to sing hymn number 488, and the Reverend Gordon will come to close in prayer. Thank you.
in prayer. Our gracious Father, we give thee thanks for thy presence and help that has been known in this meeting this afternoon. We thank thee for all the reports that have been brought to us, the lifting up of thy name in praise. We thank thee especially for the ministry of thy truth. We pray that thou wilt take thy word and seal it to each one of our hearts. O Lord, we do pray that each child of thine in this gathering will truly say in their hearts today, I surrender all. May there be no holding back for self. Deliver us, Lord, from such sin. May we yield ourselves as instruments unto thee. We cry to thee that in all of our churches and the missionary works of our denomination, we pray that there will be raised up laborers and those that will sense the mantle of God falling upon us, and that the work of God will advance despite the darkness of the day. We pray that it'll bless the meeting this evening. Give help there to all that will take part. We pray that your blessing will be upon us during the break time. We pray that you'll bless our fellowship one with another. And the food that is partaken of, we thank thee for that. And so, Lord, do continue with us through the day, we pray in Christ's great name. Amen.
The offering came to £3,555, and we thank you for your generous giving, the Saviour's name.